This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A global brand releases a product. Customers say, you know what, it's faulty. The brand pauses sales, then quietly brings it back with some new instructions, telling people to size up and wear skin tone underwear. Is that listening? Or is it shifting the blame?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
When you look at this response from Lululemon, does it feel like accountability or reputation management?
Well, it actually felt like a story I remembered from what I thought was a couple of years ago. It's actually 10 years ago, where the same thing happened with their leggings. And this was 2013, where customers were complaining that the leggings became see-through. And the response from the company was basically, yes, no, I'm paraphrasing, but your thighs are too thick for our leggings, and therefore they're not a product designed for everybody. And that didn't go down well in 2013. The actual quote was, some women's bodies just actually don't work for the pants. That's what they said. So this is a brand that has had a number of these scandals. And I think that the fact that, you know, in 2013 they were blaming women, their size of their thighs, and this year they're saying, oh no, it's not the leggings, it's the undergarments and the fact that you need to size up. At what point do you just identify that your $129 leggings are a little bit of a ripoff?
Now,
why can you not just say that? Because I feel that customers are probably thinking, weird, because we don't have this problem with other brands. What is it about your brand and why do I have to buy special underpants to wear them?
This brand is not cheap by any stretch.
This is what I mean. $129 for leggings is much higher than standard. And I'm not talking if you just walked into Kmart or Target where you could get them for $15. Even if you look at sort of higher end sporting apparel, theirs are on the expensive end. So it's hard to justify and to then say these leggings would be fine if only you bought a bigger size or bought special underwear. It seems like a lot of effort to excuse a product that's just substandard.
I had a mat, a yoga mat from this company once, and it was very slippery all the time. And they said put a towel on top of it. So
yeah,
I couldn't just.
I remember my brother bought a mattress, not from obviously Lululemon, and he said it was basically like sleeping on concrete. And the company's advice to him was, "We can sell you a pad to put on top of the mattress to make it more comfortable." The fact that they're also selling these pads made me think this is not the first time they've had this complaint. And this is what's making me think with Lululemon that, you know, obviously they're trading on reputation and on their brand, but the fact this isn't their first scandal related to leggings being too thin and becoming see-through makes it a concern that isn't a one-off thing, but rather is actually part of the reason the company has significantly lost a lot of value over, and I don't mean in reputation, I mean in literal sales, over the last few years.
Now, the product, if I understand, wasn't pulled globally, just paused in some markets.
Yes, for 3 days.
For 3 days. What does that kind of selective response say about how brands prioritise backlash?
So obviously they're thinking this is primarily a PR scandal. Now, by that, we mean we can manage language our way out of this drama, and that if we just give a way out of it, or at least a plausible excuse, that enough of our customers will accept it. Now, I think if you were going to go down this path, at least give people that, I don't know if Lululemon actually sell underwear, but if they did, give them at least them pairs for free. That would feel like a more goodwill type gesture. Here it's basically saying it's a kind of corporate gaslighting, really, in the sense of even though you've bought your standard size, you should have known to buy a bigger size because these leggings are somewhat unique. It's just a weird, because they're not advertised as though they're transparent. This is something that customers are finding out when they're wearing the garment, which is what happened in their last see-through leggings scandal.
Are we seeing a shift from brands apologising to brands educating consumers? What's going on sort of culturally there?
So I think that every brand is going to be different in terms of how they handle it. What Lululemon has to do, and you could argue that partly they're already doing it in the sense that they are not considered a size-inclusive brand. By that, I mean they don't carry larger sizes. So by carrying only a narrow range of sizes, what they're basically saying is there is a certain kind of body shape that can fit into our products. And in doing that, in narrowing your market, you're trying to ask yourself, would this part of the market really care? Now, obviously, they're making generalizations about their audience, but I think they're also just forgetting customers have other options. Mm. And that's the difference here. How far can loyalty take you? Lululemon had a lot of scandals, again, about 10 years ago when some of the comments that the founder, who's not on the board of management anymore, he sold most of his shares, but when Chip Wilson started the company, he chose that name, the Lululemon name, because he thought it would sound exotic to Japanese customers. But he also found it funny, though, that they'd pronounce how Asian mouth shapes would pronounce Lululemon because of the three L's. So the company has been beleaguered with concerns ranging, you know, again, where did that name come from? Obviously racism, but also these other kinds of PR efforts to make the company seem elitist and make the customers feel like they're in on something special. The problem there is the market is saturated with athletic wear. There are other high-end brands that customers can go to and give their money to that probably don't have as many concerns, even just quality, because also we can't have conversations regularly about cost of living and then say to someone, it's okay to drop $129 on a pair of leggings that are literally see-through and you feel bad about them. There are other places to give your money.
And I mean, you go into a Lululemon store, you go to the change rooms and they say, hi, what's your name? And they write it on the change room door. And everyone knows, oh, that's Warren in that change room trying on those shorts that look terrible on him.
But that's, again, that experience is partly what they're selling. And this is not the only brand that does that. Look, I do too. That's what mail order is for, I'd argue. But none the to avoid that entire experience. But there are some people, though, who do like that idea of going into a store, being made to, you know, both. I mean, it's very, you hear this conversation a lot with Americans who come to Australia and say the customer service here is terrible. Part of that criticism lies in the uber over-the-top friendliness of retail workers in the United States as well as in restaurants. Again, it's a different culture, and a lot of Australians, I would certainly put myself in this camp, don't like over-the-top friendliness. Some people do, though, and it makes them feel included. But again, that inclusiveness is quite narrow because, again, Lululemon is only stocking a small number of sizes.
When companies quietly update product descriptions instead of owning the issue loudly, does that erode trust long term, do you think, Lauren?
Yeah, because again, if people can see that there is an obvious problem with the product, rather than withdrawing it from sale and say and admit, okay, these leggings aren't standing up to what we had hoped that they would do. Obviously, there's some concerns with product testing. We're going to go away and come back with something fantastic. That's the path that we're used to seeing in terms of a corporate response. Here, they've just gone down the path of saying, no, it's not happening. It's your underpants that are the problem or that you've sized wrong. And that seems to be the strategy. The go away for 3 days rather than 6 months of research and development. We've taken the 3-day approach to come up with a way to gaslight customers into thinking that $129 legging price was actually a reasonable purchase, as opposed to, oops, I've bought a literal lemon.
I wonder if, I wonder if I can get a pair. I might try them at Hot Yoga on the weekend.
Again, this hot yoga is going to have to be done at home, Warren, unless you're wearing the appropriate underpants. I'm just saying, we don't want another scandal.
That would be a big scandal. At least I'd be the only one in the room. I'd have the instructor to myself.
This is it. There are some perks to this, but there are also some, again, how much of an exhibitionist are you? You have to work that
not
out.
Not at all. Amy in Preston says, just say sorry and pull it. Don't gaslight us. That's that term coming up again.
Yeah, I think this is the other thing, is that maybe in a pre-internet era where people are actually very, very versed in pop psychology terms such as gaslighting, audiences have become really able to read what's being done. We can see this corporate move for what it is. It's the same as things that have happened in the United States over the past weekend, where you have, you know, here is the video, and you're having a administration telling us that that's not what we see in the video, right? It's the same thing. You're hearing people call that gaslighting. It's the same thing when a corporation is saying to you, no, the leggings are fine, the leggings are fine, the leggings are fine. Mm. Why are you saying that when I can see through them?
Well, it also makes it look like, you know, there's a problem with you, the customer. You're
again,
not right.
Though, this is a playbook that they've used before, where your thighs were too fat for them. So it's not as though this is untested ground for them. They also did the same thing when they were blaming that the women who couldn't really wear our leggings due to their size, that was the reason that they were see-through, as opposed to it being, well, hang on, why can I buy a pair of leggings from, I don't know, Kmart or Target that don't do this and they're $15? Something is wrong with your product being at such a high price point, but yet me not getting value out of them.
I wonder if they'll tell me your legs are too skinny or fat because I can't fit into their shorts. I should ask them. I'll go.
Look, do a little bit of testing and see.
I'll see. Lauren, another one. Leah says in Northcote, once trust's gone, it's gone. I mean, Leah's pretty right there, isn't it? Once you get
gassed. And this is another thing when you look at differences in consumer culture over the past few decades. There isn't corporate loyalty anymore. You know how they used to be, probably our parents or at least grandparents' generation, they'd be, I'd always be a Meijer customer, or I'd always be a David Jones customer, or I'd always drive a Ford, or I'd always drive a Holden, or whatever it might be. That kind of loyalty has been decreasing across the generations. Partly, I think it's because we realize corporations are not our friends and we're much more critical of capitalism in general, but also the fact that the market is saturated. There are very few consumer goods anymore where there aren't 50 other choices. Why would you pick the expensive version that is simply not providing you with value? That it's not, you don't need to be a genius to work out that's a bad financial decision.
Lauren, good to chat with you. I'll let you get back to your lemons.
I look forward to talking again with you next week. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosebourne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.